We've got to talk about your job, Sebastian.
Oh, I have one. It's so crazy.
The craziest part about it is, let me just say that it is a startup that is...
Can I stop you there?
Sure.
Thanks. It's just, sorry, just whenever anyone talks about a startup, I'm just like, oh.
Well,
just...
I probably make more money than you, so shut the fuck up. So it's a startup, and it's targeting professionals of color. It's trying to be like a private membership network for professionals of color. So naturally, I, a white male, have been selected to be the director of content and programming, which means that I pretty rapidly have to get up to speed on what people of color care about.
Well, if there's anyone who would know, it would be you.
But of course, diversity does include white people, as everybody loves to remember.
Well, haven't you just...
Ragu, this really doesn't concern you.
No, yeah, Ragu, sorry, the whites are talking.
Isn't... Well, you know how it... I mean... Oh, wait, hang on, this is a really bad joke, but I think I'm going to make it. You know how if you mix all of the colors up in the rainbow, you get white?
I don't think that's true.
Say...
Yeah, like it's like when you put like white light through a prism, you get a rainbow, and if you put it back through the prism, you get white light.
But it depends if you're using
paint.
But
that's not the same thing
as paint. And also, what the fuck are you talking about?
Have you ever been child? You get like a sickly brown.
No. You get a sheer white if you put all of the colors.
Have you ever tried it? Look, you haven't tried it. You don't know. You're not a person.
A prism is not the same as yes. All the colors are contained in light.
When a person of color does it, they get white.
Hello, and welcome to Butterflies on the Wheel, where life's array of unsung bastards are finally held accountable for their actions. Each week, two of us will battle it out by presenting a real-life person they've encountered who's been guilty of some form of mild tomfool fuckery. They will conclude by proposing a fitting punishment to the judge, this week, that's me, and the judge will then decide who has presented the most convincing case. The winner will have the right to compete again in next week's podcast. The offenses we report here are all the more criminal because they are not recognized as crimes, but that stops with us. My name is the Right Honorable Gay Judge Sebastian Herndrew. I'm joined by two experts in the field of practicing arguments in the shower that will never take place. Jack Vaux.
Can I just say, it's a pleasure to be here.
Ugh. Okay, you can say that. I don't know if you need to. And Ragu Klu?
These are getting increasingly improbable.
No, that was Danish, wasn't it, Sebastian?
I translated Keshavan into Danish.
Oh, that's quite good. So I can have like a Var style last name.
Yeah, Jack Vu and Rogu
Kusivan. Oh, that's good. I could be like a noir detective with a name like that.
Oh, I was thinking for my next story, I might try and do it in a film noir style. Like that sort of like a... Something smelled fishy, and it wasn't the fit. You know what I mean, like.
That. Oh, that's our favorite. That's our favorite voice on this podcast. The 30s,
so good.
The 30s radio announcer.
The 30s radio announcer. Sebastian, Jack, and Ragu. They joined together for yet another recording of their absolutely terrible podcast.
And Jack, eyes on me. Eyes on me. Okay, calm down.
How long was I out?
There's been a minor transgression, incredibly minor, a social base indiscretion, slightly embarrassing, a crime that needs no confession, nonetheless, this court is in session.
The rules are simple. No more than 3 minutes for opening arguments, lol. Number two, the crime must be trivial. Leave literally all of Gen Z to the actual courts and the big guy upstairs. And number three, the punishment must fit the crime, should we remember to issue one. At this stage, I'd like to perform a coin toss. I've got this piece of sausage that I didn't eat, so I'll use that. Jack, you won last week. So, Jack, do you want Burnside? Do you want top or bot? Top or bot?
I'll have top. Always top.
And it's top! And it's top. Yes. We welcome tops in this house. So, Jack, what do you want?
So, obviously I won last week, but I've been thinking since we've recorded, I've just been feeling really bad because I essentially just relied on like a gimmick.
Okay. And how's that relevant to who's going first?
Oh, fuck. Right, yeah. I'll go first, Sebastian.
Great. So glad we got there in the end.
Can you just launch into your story without listening to the question?
You must take pills. Please, counselor, approach the brunch so that I may smell your insides and understand the worthy justice of your claims.
Your Honor.
Thank you.
Last week, I won, which is great, obviously, but I've been thinking since we recorded that I relied on a gimmick, and that just sort of feels like a cheap way to win. So I just wanted to just correct that with my story today.
I was traveling down Wisconsin Way when I found myself upon a train. It took me down to southern Spain or somewhere. I know that's kind of confusing. I just thought this song would have a better ring if I said I was in Wisconsin, though I've never been there. This ain't the start I was hoping for. I should have set up the scene a little better. You ever feel like giving up and just starting over? Well, the train part, yeah, that was true. I sat inside a little booth, a compartment that was without you sat close to me. In your place was a middle-aged man, opposite him his wife, so I understand. His name was Bob, her name Suzanne. They smiled at me. But to my dismay, as the locomotive started moving, they simultaneously began de-shoeing. This ain't the start I was hoping for. Bob took off his shoes and then some more. I felt like screaming out as his socks hit the floor. Now, I don't mean to be a prude. My feet swell up on long journeys too, and if you feel behooved to remove your shoes, I can understand. But there ain't a sock in this whole wide world that's too tight to restrict your blood flow enough for you to expose your toes on a train with me. But while I was trying not to breathe, I remember feeling grateful that at least, though this wasn't the start I was hoping for, at least Susan hadn't bared her souls. Her socks and dignity remained intact, or so I thought. Rolled on, I thought of you, knowing that I would see you soon. It made me smile to think of who you've made me. The scenery just whirled on by, getting more familiar each time I looked out the window with my eye, and I looked for you. But past the reflection of my shining eyes, I saw the couple behind me, and I realized I'd missed the start of something odd. Susan had her feet in the lap of Bob. She was giving Bob an actual real-life foot job. Everybody now. Right there on the train, yeah, there was a lot of people. There was a school group nearby. She just didn't seem to mind, neither did he. It wasn't even like surreptitious or nothing. It was really one that was sort of like, I mean, it was through the trousers, but I feel like they shouldn't. Like when you're on a train, these kind of technicalities, they don't really seem the same. For sure, it was really uncomfortable. They went on for about 45 minutes. 45 minutes.
What the fuck? That went in a totally unexpected direction.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Can I just say, first of all, that was really high production value. Well done.
Thank you.
It was over 3 minutes. It was over three minutes.
Do you know what?
I will just say that. Based on your...
all I was thinking about.
Based on your topic of discussion last week, it was over 3 minutes. So could have used an edit maybe specifically up front when you talk about being in Wisconsin for God knows what reason.
For a while. Like the Wisconsin bit is the full first 30 seconds.
It was Wisconsin heavy. It was Wisconsin forward, and we just don't need that. Judge, I hope you're okay with me. I'm the judge.
You're the judge, my God.
I hope you're okay with me just cross-examining on your behalf for a while, Counselor Cantaban. The inclusion of the word surreptitious in musical lyrics, I'm impressed.
Didn't rhyme, but if that would be the next stage.
Shh. Don't interrupt. The phrase bared her souls, really liked that.
Oh.
If I can just interject here.
Oh my God! You may not. Oh my God. I think the big...
I just wish everybody could see Sebastian's face when he said, oh my God. Like, the look of just wild-eyed shock.
I wanted to hide. I didn't...
So listen, I just need to clarify that what was happening was the man took off his feet shoes, right? Mm-hmm. He took off his socks.
Correct.
His bare feet were off. His woman... which is the technical term, then took off her feet, shoe, and sock situation as well.
No, her socks remained intact.
Okay, socky poos stay on for Suzanne. And then she meandered her little piggies over to Bob's lap and began vigorously...
Oh, she was sat opposite him.
She sat opposite him. She began vigorously foot-jobbing his penis, which lies in the crotch area.
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay. Wow. that is psychotic. Okay.
How far were they sitting from you? Like, what is the distance between you and
them? So this happened, you know, when I said at the end there was a group of school children nearby?
Yeah.
We were the school children. So I was 17. So it wasn't like it was like, I knew what it was, you know. But it was the four-person thing. So there was a table between us. So I actually was from the perspective of, I think I was sat next to Bob.
Sorry, you were like adjacent to this man.
Yeah, I was adjacent to Bob. And then I could just see her feet. I couldn't see her legs. It was just the feet poking out from underneath the table. And I got off the train and I said to someone who was sat opposite me, I was like, did you notice that man? And before I could say it, she was like, she was giving him a foot job.
As a technicality, isn't this a real crime?
I was just gonna say, but I just need a couple more details for legal reasons. Did you see a boner? What did you see, like, actual reaction? Because you said that she was going for 45 minutes, which to me suggests a pretty ineffective foot job.
I think it was ineffective. I mean, but then there was so much in the way of them completing full foot job status, which is what I will, that's what my response will be to the trivial crime of it. I don't know if it'll stand up in a court of law as a foot job, but we'll find out because this is a court of law.
the trivial crime is that Suzanne sucks at foot jobs. Holy shit. Okay.
So it was like, it was a foot job, but like a very affectionate one. The kind of one where if they were watching a movie together and she was like, just sort of like caressing his crotch area, it would like never lead to sex, but it would just be sort of like, hey, we've been married for 20 years. I still know that this thing exists and here's my foot to prove it.
I'm marking this appendage of yours with my foot to let you know that I see you. I see you. And
the whole thing is just not right. I'm sorry.
Mm. Yeah. It's definitely not right. Counselor Klu-Klu? Do you have any
last one yet?
Do you have anything else that you'd like well, I to mean, know about?
No, I've read.
Did you like it?
I liked it. I thought it was really good. That was really funny.
Mark off your bingo cards at home.
I'm just reeling at the content of this story. Like I'm unable to effectively cross what's it. Partly because I never do, but also partly because I'm just, the presence of children has really thrown me.
They seem like a really nice middle-aged couple as well.
I just, for me also,
just it's... added foot job.
For me also, it's that foot job, like a foot job. A foot job is such a like archaic practice. Like what, like I have never given one. I've never received one. I've never thought about one. I was hooking up with this guy recently and he was like, I'm really into feet. And I was like, okay. And I was like, what does that like entail? And he's like, just let me play with your feet. And I was like, you know, no kink shame, whatever. And like, I think feet is a fairly innocuous fetish, but it's just when you're faced with it, when you're standing in front of it, it is just kind of an imposition, you know? It's like,
My mind always just goes to the variety of verrucas and warts that exist. Exactly, right? I'm just like, you don't want to be having like verruca. Go, like, I get distracted enough.
what kind of warty women have you been with in your past? Jesus Christ.
Well, you know, I get my women from Tinder and the swamp.
Okay, Shrek.
Happily married for 6 years.
So, wow. Okay, deshoeing on a train. That is, it's literally, I also like deshoeing, by the way. That is mortifying. That is mortifying. Yeah. To this court.
I thought this was going to be about smelly feet.
Same.
Classic misdirect. Began. This is Wisconsin, the misdirect.
So now we do the jingle, the other jingle, the other Jack jingle, OJJ.
There's a lot of Jack music content here. And they said this microphone was too expensive. Look at all the many uses I've had for it, Your Honours.
Shut up.
One person stopped talking. And the only problem is another person's gonna talk now. We've got to listen to that shit. The time is fast approaching when the second story comes. Will it be better written or equally dumb?
So, I guess what I'd like to hear now is Ragu's story.
Sebastian feels overshadowed by your songs and jingles. Now he has to do a bit.
Yep.
So, great start. What I was going to say before you interjected with that delightful yep, is that now that I'm sober, it's even harder for me to conjure up anger at my fellow man than it was before. But luckily for this podcast, I spent quite a lot of the last month in airports.
Classic.
And there's something about airports. I mean, I don't particularly enjoy flying in general. I find the whole business quite stressful. But although the bit in the plane is often uncomfortable and tedious, and you know, you're stuck with people who can be sort of manic in different ways, the worst parts for me involve airports. Usually it's, you know, some dick at immigration or something like that. But the thing about Indian airports, and most of this flying happened in India, is that they're quite different from the ones that you see in maybe, you know, in Europe or America. I mean, not in like fundamental ways, but there's small things which are different. So for example, you can't enter an Indian airport without a valid ticket for that day, which, you know, sort of makes sense. But you also can't leave the airport once you're inside without being like signed out by an employee of the airline and having like a legitimate reason taken down and your travel document checked. It's some kind of like mad security thing. I don't know. It happened to me once when I couldn't get onto a flight for a visa thing. But anyway, so in that same way, there's a bunch of different things that we do slightly differently. So one of the others is that very little is automated. So what usually happens is there's just dozens of cops who perform the functions that you would have automated in airports here. They'll check your boarding cards. They'll man the whole like security bit. They'll tell you where to put your stuff and they frisk you. They don't have, I mean, they have those like metal detectors, but they don't trust them. So everybody gets frisked. So sometimes there'll be like six cops standing behind the conveyor belt where you drop your stuff for it to go through the X-ray machine. You know, they're totally unhelpful. Some of them will grunt at you if you haven't taken your belt off. Occasionally, one of them will be helpful and hand you like a tray and tell you where to put your electronics and things like that. And lots of people haven't like flown before, so you need the sort of, you know, the interaction with people to just make sure everything works. But slowly, like, stuff is changing. We're gradually being sold like dumb Western technology, which is supposed to make things easier, but just fucks it up. So the trivial crime I want to bring to the attention of this esteemed court is what I have called the self-colonization of Indian airports. It's
which is also my album name, just my upcoming album name.
I think you should put that into like one of those AI image generators just to see what comes out. So this it's a process by which perfectly functional systems are destroyed because some idiot Indian bureaucrat went to Heathrow and thought, ah, technology, this is the way of the future. I must go back to India and liberate my people. And instead of helping, it's just used in really dumb ways and it just snarls things up. So where we had like a perfectly simple process of a disgruntled policeman checking your boarding card before you could get to security, now we have those dumb automated boarding card scanning gates that you have at Heathrow. And you might think, good, progress, efficiency. But you'd be wrong. At Delhi Airport, we now have two of these automated gates. And one of the gates is blocked by the same cop who was there before, except now you hand him your boarding card. He scans it for you. Occasionally, the gate doesn't open. And you're sent back to the check-in desk so that they can give you a new boarding card. And then you have to queue again, and then you get through. The same thing happens at security. We used to just, like, fucking wing it. You just rock up, snatch a tray from, like, a grandmother, put your laptop in, and scan it through. Lots of distressed people just running around, being, you know, queues didn't exist. It was fine. We were used to it. It worked. Right? Like,
I can't with the image of attacking the grandmother to get through security.
She didn't
faster.
Need the tray. She didn't have any electronics. She was just holding. Anyway, so look, like all like, you know, we'd pile everything into the X-ray machine. We'd cheerfully wander off to be frisked. All of this would be presided over by these fat, smiling, unhelpful policemen. But now we have the same system that you have in Heathrow. We're like, under the conveyor belt where you're supposed to put your bags, you have another conveyor belt which like spits out trays. Mm. We didn't used to have that. And it worked fine. Now what happens is that you just stand there waiting for the tray to come out, but it doesn't because there's nobody at the other end feeding them back into the fucking machine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you just fucking stood there waiting for this thing to spit out a tray at your knees and it never happens because they don't have enough trays. Nothing works. All we've done is we've looked at something shiny which runs on electricity and we're just like, yes, a machine can do it better than us. And then we inject our incompetence into it and the machine just makes everything worse. Anyway, so I'm not going to go on very long because I will stay within the 3-minute limit.
You want to bet?
You already have not.
I have. I think you find that you're counting wrong. Again, once again, technology lets you down.
Sorry, I didn't realize we were on Delhi time.
You are. When I'm speaking, you are. But yeah, for the trivial crime of taking over our perfectly functioning, if slightly quirky systems, and replacing them with your stupid Western technology, I condemn. Well, I actually don't know who I condemn. I think that's the weakness of my story. I think I think we have to go with like a shadowy cabal of bureaucrats.
No, it has to be the thing that came to me would be the man who looked at the technology and said, "I'm going
to
liberate
my
people."
Oh yeah, yeah. So the idiot bureaucrat who's trying to liberate us. Mm. I condemn him before this court.
It was beautiful. Right, okay, I'm going to do some quite blistering cross-examination. Judge, is that okay?
I couldn't care less. Keep going.
So just brace yourself for this, Raghu. I love you and everything you stand for. This is tickling just the right part of me. Like, this is fan fucking tastic, and it's tapped into so much of how I feel when I go into airports. The fact that he looked at something shiny and tried to do it, but how could you look at the technology that is in airports and be like, yes, let's replicate that? It is appalling. It is appalling. The tray thing, for example, as you rightly spotted, like, what was ever wrong with a pile of trays?
Yeah.
What was wrong with a pile of trays? A pile of trays is there. Well, actually, the list of reasons is it's there.
Yeah.
It's there.
That's it.
It's fine.
That's it.
I don't need a tray to move. I don't need a tray to move, to me. Wow. It's fine. But the big one for me is, I realised this the other day when I was going through an airport. Have you ever gone into an airport bathroom, all three things, when you wash your hands, worked? So when you put your hand underneath the mirror and the water's meant to just come out. Just be like, oh my God, we've sensed you. Blah. And then you go and put your hand on the soap and then the soap goes, blah. And you go, oh, brilliant, I'm going to lather myself. And then you go to the fucking air dryers and then the air dryer just works immediately. Have you ever done that? 3, 2, 1. No, you haven't, because it is impossible.
That's true.
There is just piles of soap next to every basin.
Yeah.
Because everyone just puts their hand under it and then goes, oh, for fuck's sake. And then as soon as you take your hand away, it goes, It's every single airport, as far as I'm aware, of course, every single continent that I've been to, and it fucking sucks. And how anyone would want to replicate that or bring that to people, whether you want to liberate the Indians or not, is appalling.
And we vehemently do not.
No, yes.
No, but this is what I mean. I mean, it's this idea that, like, because stuff is happening here, it must make sense. Like, because they've seen it at Heathrow, and he's just like, Heathrow, in London. London is a big city.
Yeah.
With white people
Capital of a formerly great nation.
I mean, I have a slightly different take on this, because the technology is not the problem. The use of the technology by human incompetent morons is the problem. Except in the case of the bathroom technology that you just discussed, Jack, that is so absurd and annoying to me. However, with the tray thing, it's because they never have anyone on the other side making sure that the trays go back into the goddamn feeder thing that feeds them back into the front of it.
Yeah. Why add a journey?
Yeah, A, it's that. But I mean, no, B, like in the scenario where you didn't have the tray conveyor belt, somebody would just have to collect all the trays and bring them to the front. I mean, it's the same thing. You're either feeding them into the machine or you're collecting them and bringing them to the front. There's that step is
okay,
already
Okay, I guess that's
there.
True. I guess that's true. It's just when you were talking, it's like it feels like yes, this technology is wrong. It's bad. We hate it. It's the white man's technology. But at the same time, it does sound like there's a fair amount of Indian incompetence.
So my point is that we have our own system. It works. Right, like
based on the native level of incompetence.
No, it's not. It's not the native level of incompetence. It's just that this is how we do things. Like it's like if you guys were to come to India, mm-hmm. you'd get fucked up because mm-hmm. we would.
In what way?
Well, I mean, you know, you'd get fleeced everywhere you went. You'd be reduced to tears by our public transport system.
Yep.
You'd probably get cholera.
that does seem like a problem.
Yeah, no, but my point is
bucket list item for me.
But it works. It works for us. You know, I don't have those things happen to me, because I know how things work. I also think I should clarify that there is the incompetence comes not from like the fact that it is in India. The incompetence comes from the fact that everybody who runs Indian airports is an incompetent police officer. That's
right.
Like
okay.
So when you introduce those people to technology, they'll do dumb shit like stand in front of the gate that could cut the queue in half.
Mm.
And then,
that's what I meant is like it's the moronic like you know, the it's the keeping the unnecessary human labor involved in the technology when the technology is actually, like, potentially capable of doing something helpful. And by the way, it's the same thing for, like, passengers who are in the fucking airport. You know, like, the number of times you get to the front of the security thing and someone is like, what, my shoes, my laptop, my, the liquids, which one that do I have? It's like, how have you never been outside your house? Like, it's so fucking easy.
That is amazing to me. So I was in Copenhagen Airport the other day, and there was a woman who she had everything that you're not meant to in her bag. She had a laptop. She had a phone. She had a charger. She had a power bank. Like all the, even the weird ones.
I
like,
see,
you know, you're not meant to have
every time. And, every time
then,
I travel.
But the guy was being very patient opposite, and he was just going. She was just going. Can I have? And she wasn't like particularly old. She was just like, can I have my laptop in? No. Can I have my phone in? No. Can I have my like in the bag or whatever. She was asking every single thing, and he was having to be like, I'm really sorry, you can't have that in there. And then he goes, do you have any liquids in your bag? And she goes, yes.
Of course.
And he goes, well, you can't have any liquids in your bag. I saw you can't bring them through unless they're... And he tried to explain about the little baggie that you have to put things in. She pulled out, and I'm not fucking kidding, she pulled out a liter bottle of water. And she was like, is this okay? And he was like... No. And she was like, well, it is in Finland. And it's like, no, it isn't. It will not be okay in Finland. You know why? Because Finland is a country, and every single country has the same fucking rules.
So this just reinforces my argument, which is that in India, you often do have people who haven't flown before.
Right. Right.
Like, or people who are just not very used to flying, which just makes it much more important to have people there exactly. Who can tell you what to do rather than having technology that nobody knows how to work and sometimes just doesn't fucking work.
Yep. Mm. Yep, yep, yep. Mm.
I rest my case.
I am convinced by what you're saying, even though I do believe in the power of technology to transform the world. Or whatever. But I do think that human beings are more important than it, I guess. As a robot. Oh no, that was the other episode.
No, but that's fine. It creates a sort of through link.
Oh, right. It's beautiful. Yeah, guess what, guys? You have to listen to the episode before this to get that joke.
If you didn't get that joke, if you're not currently on the ground cry laughing, you have to listen to the previous episode.
Oh, a boopy, boopy, boopy. That's my gavel. Now, I would like to have some punishments.
So, in honor of your honor.
Nice try.
No, thank you. I'm going for a Hendra-esque punishment. A Hendrian punishment.
Better.
Okay, so this woman, I want her to retroactively have a punishment, even though it was, you know, fucking over 10 years ago. But I want to count every single second that she was giving this foot job to this man. And I want to give her a cookie for every single second. Every single second that she did this, I want to give her a little cookie. So I'm just going to do some quick calculations here. So that is, what's the calculation? 60 times 45. So she's going to have 2,700 cookies. She has to eat them all.
Every second?
A couple of days. No, she doesn't have to eat them every second. She's got that pile of cookies, and she has to eat them within before she can leave the house.
Mm. That's too bad. I was kind of hoping for a sort of like foie gras style, like stuffing down the throat situation.
Well, you might like this bit because these are going to be quite sugary cookies. She's going to get diabetes, and her feet are going to be have to be amputated. I rest my punishment. No more foot jobs for anyone, Susan.
And like the last time she offers Bob one, he's like, "I don't like it. It makes my dick look so small because her feet are so fucking giant." So. Loved that. Thank you. I think it really speaks. I mean, it's definitely a trivial punishment in terms of removing a woman's feet for the rest of her life. So
she was quite old, as I say. So
wait, what? I missed that part. How old was she?
Middle-aged. Listen to the fucking song.
I'm sorry, I zoned out because you were talking about Wisconsin for 9 hours. okay, so
wait, sorry, so you? because my connection dropped, can I just try to fill in what I think the punishment was, which is that she ate so many cookies that she got diabetes and lost her feet.
You got
correct.
It.
Correct.
Oh my god.
All right, Raggertons. Punish the bureaucrat.
Punish the bureaucrat. Okay, so basically the characteristic of this bureaucrat which caused this fuck up is his or her faith in technology. So what I would like to do is see that faith destroyed. And I want that to happen not just in the context of, you know, airports. I want every part of their lives blighted by this phenomenon. So, you know, you might think that I just want their boarding card to be rejected by the gate, or for the tray belt to shoot a tray out at their knees and cause mild injury. But actually, I want everything to stop working. I want their credit cards to stop working. I want their phones to butt dial their superiors while they're, I don't know, having sex. I want autocorrect to just change everyday words to really obscene shit when they're texting their in-laws. Every trivial thing that could derail your day, I want one of those things to happen to them every day for 10 years. And then I want it to just stop without explanation and things go back to normal for about 4 years. And then for it to start up again until they die.
And then they actually never die. And they just live forever. And
they die.
Oh, okay. Don't contradict the judge, maybe.
I've also just realized that I think I have, in another trivial podcast, I think I must have pissed someone off in an airport because I've realized that I've got one of those things that happens to me every time, which is every time that I go to one of the e-passport gates.
Yeah.
So I have to queue 30 minutes, and then I get to the e-passport gate. It hates my face. And it always says you have to go to the person. So then I have to join the sub queue, and then I have to wait another half an hour. And it happens every single time. And I do think I must have pissed off someone on the Indian version of Butterflies on the Wheel, potentially.
Not surprised that you have to join a sub queue.
Yeah.
I have to say that is that's one of the other like loci of despair at the airport, especially old people. I fucking hate old people in airports, especially old people when they go up to the passport gate and they're like, what do I do? It's like, it's a one-way fucking system, dude. And it says where to put your passport. What could you possibly think you have to do? It's mind numbing to me. Anyway, I hate old. Anyway, so enough about me. I do think this is okay. Let me deliberate. I'm taking my pants off to deliberate. This is a hard one because I do think that Counselor Raghu, you had tremendous commentary. Okay, tremendous commentary. You are bringing big issues. It's rhetorical. It's powerful. It makes me think differently about the nation of India, for example. And technology and the value of human life and labor. So that is interesting, but also hurts my brain a little. Just a note and a fact. Jack, the reason this is hard is that yours was obviously quite good. And listen to me carefully, because I will only say this once. It was very good. The song was good. That actually killed me to do. So anyway, that was that was good. So the problem, though, is that it is kind of a serious crime to sexually harass children. So that does it puts me on defense. I don't know. I don't know who I am anymore. I'm sorry, I have to give it to Jack because the production value was just too good. I'm sorry, Raghu.
He's won three in a row.
I know, but you can't put that much effort into something and not victory for it. So that is my ruling. And
I would accept
let me finish. Do not question it.
I dedicate this one to Raghu because I think that yours was brilliant.
I should have done an airport one when Jack was the judge, actually. That rookie mistake.
That is all we have time for this week. I would like to close by saying thank you for joining us, and we are sorry for what we did and for what everyone else did. Join us again in whatever number of weeks that we feel like releasing another episode. And you can follow us on Instagram with literally 92 other real people at Butterflies Podcast. And please give us a 5-star rating on iTunes, on Spotify. Those are the only platforms that really matter. Download this podcast, leave a review, tell your grandmother, tell anyone's grandmother in an airport. Do something, you know.
I really feel like we're putting in a lot of the sort of like effort in this relationship.
It's good content. So just fucking share it for once, you miserable loons.
Sebastian is now director of content, so he knows.
Exactly, director of content. I also just final last word. I'm sorry for everything that I have said about India, and I didn't mean it. And if my boss is listening, I didn't mean it. Okay, that's our show. Love you. Bye.
Bye.